It's time to think about the Bible like you never have before. You're tuned into Christian Questions. Join the conversation now on air or online at ChristianQuestions.com and download our app by searching for Christian Questions Radio. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Henry David Thoreau once said, "Pursue some path, however narrow and crooked, in which you can walk with love and reverence." Good morning, I'm Rick, and this is not your typical Christian commentary as we look at biblically related topics from a different perspective.
And I'm Jonathan, and that different perspective has its basis in three things: godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, always done in a politically free zone.
Folks, thanks for joining us today. This is a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, so let's get started. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
We have got some interesting things to talk about this morning.
We sure do, and our question this morning is, how is Jesus the way? And our theme text is found in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
On the night before his crucifixion, and literally hours before he would begin a sleepless ordeal of beatings, humiliation, and accusation, Jesus took his precious time to give comfort to his truest followers. He spoke of what would happen, of God's care for them, and of his love and devotion to them. He taught them to serve, to be humble, and to live with joy. Jesus also told them how to be faithful and let them know that he, Jesus, was the key to it all. Jesus said that he is the way. Well, great. That sounds really cool. That sounds inspirational.
What does it mean, Rick?
Right? That's really the question. How is Jesus the way? And Jonathan, this is going to be the first of a three-part series on this scripture. And just reread the scripture again.
Sure. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
We're going to do this in a three-part series. We're going to be talking about Jesus as the way first. You know, and why are we doing a three-part series? Because if we can grasp how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then we can truly grasp how to follow and find the way, and how to understand and apply the truth, and therefore how to step in and live the life.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And so, yeah, I think that there's a whole lot in this really short scripture that helps us really get what Christianity is supposed to be all about. So what we're going to do is look at the theme context.
And, Rick, I believe Jesus had just been revealed as the betrayer.
Judas,
I meant.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Judas, right. He had just been revealed as the betrayer in the context, and perhaps in these precious moments of teaching. Now, remember, this is right near the end of Jesus' life. In these precious few moments, if it was the night before you're going to die and you know it, what do you spend your time doing?
Pouring his all out to the disciples so that they have everything they need while
right.
he's gone.
Right, right. So that's what he chose to do with that precious, precious time. So in these precious moments of teaching, Jesus showed us a little bit about the way, the truth, and the life. And perhaps I think that before he said what he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," maybe he showed us how he is the way, the truth, and life, and what he said leading up to that. So let's go back a little bit into the context. Folks, we're talking about how is Jesus the way. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions, and your comments on that. You can reach us at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
And you can now message us on your smartphone app during the program, and we will try to share your comment on air.
Okay, we're still working on perfecting that, but I think we might have the system down.
All right.
So, you know, if you want to just experiment and say, like, "Are you there?" We'll see if we can say, "Yes, we are." So, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's start with the way, going back in context. Our theme scripture is John 14, 6, but let's go back to John 13, verses 30 to 38. And I think Jesus may be telling us how he is the way in some manner in these scriptures.
So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately.
So this is kind of an interesting thing because betrayal was going to bring persecution and death. And so you're thinking, when he's talking about being glorified.
I know. That's so positive over such a tragedy.
Because this is Judas literally just leaves the room. And this is what Jesus says. Mm. So you're thinking, wait a minute, glorification after this incredible beginning of the process of betrayal? Sacrificial death would bring God's glory. And that's what the glorification was all about. So Jesus knows, and he says out loud that, look, because of the fact that Judas is leaving, that is starting a chain of events. And that piece was the first movement to create the momentum that brought his crucifixion. And he knew it. And it was such a little thing. It was such a little thing, but it started something so big. And Jesus saw, this is the amazing thing, is he saw the betrayal as the path to glory, to God's glory.
Wow.
And that gives you a sense of the big picture of what Jesus was looking for. So let's continue now. So we're in John chapter 13. Let's pick up with verses 33 to 35.
Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
So we're talking about, okay, Jesus is labeling himself as the way, we think it in the set of scriptures. So he's saying that, first of all, I'm going away. You know, you're going to be looking for me, you're not going to find me. And then he goes on to this new commandment. So there's two separate pieces in this part of the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Separation from Jesus, you're going to be separated, and that's a good thing. Now, you wouldn't think that's a good thing, but you need that to grow.
Right, right.
So he's setting them up for growth through difficulty. You're going to look for me, you're not going to find me, I'm going. So here's what I'm leaving you with. So in my absence, this is your job. Love one another. This new commandment to be like Jesus. This is the way. This is the way. Jesus says, I am the way. And so he's showing us, before he even says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's showing us how he is the way. By paving the path to God's glory through suffering persecution, and by giving us this new commandment to love one another. And it's not some new commandment that we don't really understand or needs explanation. It's a new commandment that we could see in his life.
And the evidence, Rick, is by this all men will know that you are my disciples.
So, yeah, and so that really does nail down the way.
It does.
Here it is, and people are going to know it because they're going to see it. So Jonathan, I want to go to a soundbite here because, you know, this is all about imitating Jesus. Now, this might be just a little bit different than the kinds of soundbites that you're used to, but just, you know, I'm going to play it, then you just tell me what you think.
I just want to be like you, walk like, talk like, even think like you, the only one I could look to. You're teaching me to be just like you. Well, I just gotta be like, I just gotta be like you.
All right. Well, Rick, what's with the rap here? What are you doing? This is so unlike you.
Yes, I know. It's so cool, isn't it? That's Lecrae. He's a rapper, and we're actually going to come back to a little bit of his stuff a little bit later. Pretty interesting.
Okay.
I'm going to get I might be trying to get younger in my old age. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So, we've got Jesus as the way. And look, the music was pointed at that. I just want to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
That really should be the theme of our daily life.
Good.
I just want to be like him. So, Jesus is the way. He showed us the way through sacrifice, through giving us this new commandment. How is Jesus the truth? And this, again, is in the context before he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I think he's giving us the answer before he gives us the question.
Very good.
Which is very much like Jesus in so many ways. So how is Jesus the truth? Let's keep in John 13. Let's go to verses 36 to 38.
Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me 3 times.
Now read John 14, verse 1.
"Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me."
See, I think that putting that 14:1 right next to the announcement that Peter is going to deny him 3 times is important. And remember that the chapter divisions were not in original text.
You're right. Absolutely.
So I think that phrase is partly meant for Peter.
Do not let your heart be troubled.
Right. Because he's saying to Peter, look, you're going to screw up massively. You're going to make the biggest error in judgment in your entire life very soon. I mean, that's what he's telling Peter. And he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. I know you believe in God. I just need you to believe in me. So Jesus knows the truth of our faults.
Yes, he does.
And how God's truth is accomplished with those faults. Because that error in judgment on Peter's part, the cowardice that he showed, was actually a stepping stone for him to become so much of the strength and example for the early Christian church.
Yes, absolutely.
And Jesus needed to be able to take that error and build upon it something much, much stronger.
And when we look at Peter, we can say, okay, we made a mistake too. It should make us grow from that mistake to help us be stronger too.
Because somebody like the Apostle Peter is so easy to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Because his mistakes are just out there in black and white, and they're everywhere. You can see them, and we can appreciate them because we're very faulty like he.
Absolutely. You
know, sometimes when you're trying to follow Jesus, because
he's perfect.
Yeah, it's like, what am I even trying for? But when you look at the Apostle Peter, you say, oh wait, I can do that. You know, and so Jesus is showing us how he's the truth here. He's showing us how he understands the truth of our lives. He can prophetically look at the truth of the plan and can take those things and see how they work out in terms of God's ultimate good for us and for the world of mankind. So Jesus is the way. He showed us in John 13, verses 30 to 35. Jesus is the truth in John 13, 36 through John 14, verse 1. And then Jesus is the life. And again, he's showing us these things before he's actually saying the words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So let's go to John 14 now, verses 2 through 5. Through 6.
"In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going."
So our life now is to prepare for the life that Jesus prepared us for later. So he's saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's laying out what life is going to look like later. He's saying, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I'm preparing a place for you to live a life."
Yes.
So you can see, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And then verse 5.
"Thomas said to him, 'Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?' Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.'"
So he's basically saying, you do know the way. Jesus said, you know more than you think you know. Learn from what you know. So Jesus is saying, I'm putting all this thing out in front of you. Pay attention so you can learn the details, so you can live a life that would be pleasing to God through me.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Jesus the way? Coming up, okay, so how is Jesus the way? The way to where? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions. You're listening to Christian Questions. See videos, hear past shows, and talk to us at ChristianQuestions.com. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Welcome back. Our subject is, how is Jesus the way? We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Join our conversation by calling 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or you can message us on your app. We're live, and our subject is, how is Jesus the way?
How Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we're focusing on specifically, how does Jesus fulfill that statement, that just the first four words, I am the way. What does it mean? How do we apply it? And Jonathan, when you look at something, I remember learning this in grammar school. You know, you're trying to write something, a report, and they always tell you, make sure you cover the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the situation.
Right.
So we're going to go through that. How is Jesus the way? Well, let's go through all of those different ways. The what, obviously, is defining Jesus as the way. So if we got the what, that's what we're trying to do, is define Jesus as the way. What does it really mean? We've touched on a few little things. Now let's go through the who, what, when, where, and why, and how. So we're going to start with the way to where. Okay, where? Where is, if usually if there's a way, that means that you're trying to get to, from point A to point B.
Right.
What does that mean with Jesus being the way? So one thing we know for sure, and he mentioned in John 14, which we just read, we're going to reread here just to get started, is that Jesus labels himself as the way to eternal life. John 14, 1 and 2.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you.
The way to a place that Jesus is preparing. Now, I think Jesus being the way is much more than that, but that's kind of the big picture. That's the long-range approach. That's what the ultimate end result of this is supposed to be, the way to eternal life. We want to tell a story. Well, actually, we're not going to tell a story. We're going to listen to a story. You know, we used a little bit of a rap in the first segment, and rap is not something we normally use on Christian Questions. So we might raise a few eyebrows this morning. I know we did with some of those who do some pre-work on the program.
Oh, yeah.
Like your wife, right? She was like, Rick, what are you doing? So, Lecrae is a Christian rapper. His story is an amazing story because it's truly a story of finding, of his finding the way, his finding Jesus in his life. So we're going to let him tell his story. This is was on the CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. It was an interview done. So let's just get started with sort of him introducing himself and a little bit about his story. This is the story of Lecrae.
When Lecrae was a small child, his father abandoned him and his mother. He found a sense of belonging in the hip-hop culture on the streets.
My uncles were young and wrapped up in the streets and, you know, gangs and drugs and just promiscuous. And I idolized it. It was I wanted to be the gang member my uncle was. I wanted every tattoo he had. You know, I saw my first gun and all these different things. And I was like, man, this must be what it means to be a man. And I'm just sitting on their laps, soaking all this stuff in, like, wow, you know. And so I was like, you know, a child of rap and hip hop, just seeing this world come up around me.
This must be what it must be to be like a man. That's what he said.
Because he had no father figure.
Right. He's a little kid, and this is what he sees. So this is what he wants to follow because it seems so important. And we're going to see what happens. Obviously, if you're brought up with that, you're headed for some serious trouble.
For sure.
And so we're going to see him get into trouble and see what happens with that. So we know that Jesus is the way to eternal life. Jesus, the way, Jesus is also the way to a life of faith. So eternal life, yeah, that's later.
Mm-hmm.
But what about now? Jesus as the way to a life of faith. Mark chapter 9, verses 20 to 24.
They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsions. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief.
The way to a life of faith. A life of faith is not just getting up one day because you feel inspired at a Christian service and say, I believe in Jesus.
That's not it.
No, that's a statement. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful statement.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I want you to make that statement. But that statement does not define your life. It defines the moment. The question is, what defines your life? Faith has to define your everyday. And this is a great story of a man whose son was in a world of hurt, who believed, but he didn't. And he knew it. And Jesus challenged him, because the man comes to Jesus and says, well, if you can heal him, would you please do it? And Jesus' response is, if you can? And then he says, all things are possible to him who believe. He's saying, where's your faith? And he's saying, I believe, but I don't. I need help. He's learning the life of faith. It's not just a statement. It's not just a proclamation. It is a way of living. A life of faith can be our way, or it can be the way. We just need to be sure as to where our faith finds its foundation. Because, Jonathan, everybody leads a life of faith. Everybody. I don't care what religion you have or don't have, you all lead a life of faith, because we have faith in the things around us, faith in the things that we pursue, faith that what we're doing is better than what we're not doing. People who are drug addicts lead a life of faith. It's faith in that drug taking their pain away for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
People who gamble lead a life of faith. People who are well-educated, but have no religious belief, lead a life of faith because they put their faith in whatever it is they're trusting. So what is it that you're trusting in? And can we elevate our faith to be something that's more eternal? That is faith in Jesus.
And not selfish and it being
right.
Our way.
Right, right. Now, Jonathan, remember we mentioned, you know, we got this app thing working, message us on the app.
Yes.
Well, somebody decided to check it out to test it. So we got a howdy from Austin, Texas, from Debbie D. So,
right.
Howdy, Debbie. And thanks for verifying the fact that we're trying to get this thing to work and work it into our program. So, folks, again, if you do want to message us from your app, please do so, and we'll see if we can work your comments into the program. And you can also call us. We're talking about how is Jesus the way, and our number is 866-985-4255. So, a life of faith. You've got to make the choices as to what you believe in. Let's go back to Lecrae and hear him tell his story. Now, we heard the introduction to his story a few minutes ago. Now, we're going to hear him tell his story in a little bit of a different way.
I love the way you used to come through. Teach me to do the things that men do. And true, you show me stuff I probably shouldn't have seen. But you had barely made it as a teen. Took me under your wings. I want a hat, I want it clothes just like you. Lean to the side when I roll just like you. And care if people didn't like you. You want to bang, I want to bang too. Skyline, Piru. You would have died, I would have died too. You went to prison, got sick, lost your pops, yeah, I cried too. You never knows right behind you.
So he's talking about what he had explained in the interview, in the rap. He's talking about idolizing his uncles. And, when you roll, when you drive, I want to drive, I want to lean just like you, you know, leaning back with the, hand on the steering wheel. I want to do everything just like you. I want to be just like you because you are what I see. You are what I'm putting my faith in. And then at the end of that, he says, you never know who's right behind you. That is an amazingly profound statement of the reality of our world. Each one of us can and is in many ways an example to others, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not. We are a place where people can put their faith. The question you have to ask yourself is that a worthy place for somebody to put their faith?
Good question.
Because if we are following Christ, then as others can follow us as we follow Christ, that's a good thing.
Yes. The Apostle Paul mentioned that
right.
Several times.
But if we're not, then what? And he, this young man in his youth, had some very, very poor examples.
And how much harm could we do to others?
Exactly. Jesus is the way. So the way is a place to put your faith. That, and there are lots of ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad used to always say, there's lots of ways to do things. There's my way and the right way. And so Jesus is the right way, and we need to learn how to make him the way in every aspect of our life. So Jesus is the way. He's the way to place to a place of nourishment and peace. You know, we've seen that he's a way to eternal life, a way to a life of faith. Now he's a way to a place of nourishment and peace, John 10, verses 7 through 10.
So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life, and have it abundantly."
So it's a strange thing to say, "I am the door." I mean, what do you mean, "I am the door"?
And also, who were those that came before him? And I looked up Russell's commentary, describes it as the scribes and the Pharisees that came before, mm-hmm. which were thieves and robbers.
So they were given a responsibility,
yes.
but did not fulfill the responsibility.
No, they didn't.
The interesting thing about the sheepfold, when Jesus says, "I am the door," what would happen is the shepherd of the sheep would literally sit in the doorway of the sheepfold. So when he says, "I am the door," what he's saying is, "I'm guarding the fold." That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
They were supposed to be the guardians of the fold, but they weren't. So Jesus is saying, "I'm the door." In other words, nobody can get to you unless he tries to come through me.
Wow.
You know?
That's cool.
Yeah, it is, because it gives you a sense of, again, you go back to the rapper and the culture that he was growing up into, and the drug culture and the culture of gangs and so forth, and you see that you have that mentality, they don't get to you unless they come through me. Well, Jesus is telling us exactly the same thing.
He's our protection.
Exactly, but he's real protection.
Yes.
He's eternal protection. Jesus is the way. He literally is the door. It's a beautiful...
And that should give us peace.
It really should. And nourishment, because you go in and out and you find pasture. And for a sheep, pasture is good eating.
That's important.
Okay, good eating right there. Okay. So everybody wants to know where they can go for their security. For many, the destination is actually a dead end, and a dead end nation, not a destination. And again, using the story of Lecrae, we're going to see how that unfolds, how it became such a dead end for him. So we see Jesus as the way to eternal life, the way to a life of faith, the way to a place of nourishment and peace. And now Jesus is also the way to a life of courage. And all of those other things are really sort of inspiring, but courage is the thing that you have to put in place to be able to access the rest of all of these things. So Matthew 10, 24 to 31.
"A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known."
All right, let's pause there, and then we're going to skip to verse 28 in a second. But Jesus is saying to us, to his followers at the time, look, get yourself ready, because the path that you're going to walk on is the path that I will have already walked on. And it's not going to be an easy path, because they have already accused me of being the father of devils. They've already accused me of all of these heinous things that I have nothing to do with. And if they're going to accuse me, you can be sure that you're next.
Take courage.
Right. He's saying, get yourself ready, because this is going to happen. And he says, therefore, do not fear them. Now, that is a hard thing, because fear can happen whether you want it to or not.
You're right.
You know, it's an instinct that happens from the inside out, and you don't necessarily control fear welling up.
You're right.
What we can control is what we do when fear wells up, and we'll get to that later in the program. So he's saying very specifically, do not be afraid of them. And he says, because there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Eventually, it's all going to come out in the wash, is what he's saying. And then we'll skip to verses 28 to 31.
"Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Are yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows.
So he's saying, don't be afraid of them, even if they will take your life from you.
And Rick, it's inevitable that the true followers of Christ will be persecuted.
Yes.
And in Jesus' day, it was from religious leaders. And others could be doing that to us also, seeing things differently.
So Jesus is saying, get ready, because the kind of experience I'm having is the kind of experience you will have. And that kind of experience includes a lot of persecution. Now, persecution, the word to persecute means to actually to pursue. So, and that can happen on all kinds of different levels.
Oh, it can.
Just because you don't have somebody chasing you down or stalking you doesn't mean you're not being persecuted. It's being persecuted for your belief. When you're speaking of your beliefs and others are saying, well, that's heresy. Where do you think you got that from? That's persecution. So Jesus is saying it can, and you're right, it came from the religious leaders
it
of
did.
His time
yeah.
because they were threatened by his presence. And he's saying, don't, even if they kill you. And Jesus said that because they killed him. So he's letting us know that our courage is to be founded in the fact of the almighty and eternal care for our well-being.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how is Jesus the way? Coming up, we know where the way leads, but why is Jesus the way, and why would we want to go? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions. You're listening to Christian Questions. See videos, hear past shows, and talk to us at ChristianQuestions.com. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how is Jesus the way? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
So, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, we're talking about how Jesus is the way. How do we understand that? What does it mean? How do you make it practical in your everyday life? Jesus is the way. Okay, now what? What do you do with that? That's information that we need to develop, and that's what we're spending our time on this morning. Jonathan, I wanted to take just a quick moment and read a few lines from an email we got from a listener this past week. And again, these things are really, really inspiring, and that's why we like to read them to you. It gives me goosebumps when I read things like this. Hello, I've been listening to your discussions on the Bible, and I'm very enlightened because, and I'm paraphrasing some of this, what you guys talk about really makes sense. However, I've been taught so much misleading information from other religious opinions for many years that my thinking is now changing, and I no longer desire to listen to any of them in their interpretations of God's word. I am seeing things in a different light. And then she asks a specific question on the rapture, which is an interesting subject that we haven't dealt with in a long time. So it just kind of reminded me, okay, got to put that into the rotation.
Sounds good.
So it was It's inspiring to see that. And folks, the whole objective of Christian Questions is to get you to think about the Bible in a way that you never have before by trying to let the Bible do the interpreting of itself, bringing the scriptures together and studying them by topic so that we can see what is really meant by what is said. That's a hard thing.
It is.
But it's an awful lot of fun, isn't it?
For sure.
So, folks, we're thankful when you let us know what you think, because your opinions, your thoughts, and your feedback is very, very important to us as we develop further programming. So, we know where Jesus is telling us to go, not only eternally, but in our daily life. Well, why do we want to go that way anyway? The first and most basic why. Why is Jesus the way? Why Jesus? Why not Old Testament prophets? I mean, they were good, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, look at the life of Joseph. There's a guy you want to follow.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So why is Jesus the way? There is only one way. Why is he the way? And the answer to that, Jonathan, is sin, it was not erasable by any other method other than perfect justice. If we look at Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 4, it helps us put this into perspective.
For the law, since it has only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have now have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers have once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciences of sin. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins.
That is a really important statement in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You could be atoned for sins until the next time of atonement, until that atonement expired, if you will. Mm-hmm. So the sacrifice in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were there as to buy them time.
Keep them in relationship with God.
Exactly.
But it didn't erase their sins.
Exactly. So, now we go to Hebrews 10. Let's go to verses 9 through 10.
Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
So, we're sanctified through Jesus' offering of his body once for all. You don't need any more of the sacrifices, because the offering of Jesus literally eradicates sin.
And it really brings out the justice of God. A perfect man for a perfect man satisfies justice.
So in the Old Testament, it was a temporary satisfaction of justice.
Right.
But the coming of Jesus was a permanent satisfaction of justice.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the old law merely covered over sin through sacrifices. Jesus bought us from sin by his sacrifice. Mm. Big difference.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
why Jesus is the way. You can't get there from here.
That's right.
Unless you go that way. Unless you realize that that's the only way to get rid of sin. There is no other way. We each must find our own why for following the way, even if it exposes our sinful self. So when you see that there's only one way, say, okay, why would I want to follow it? So let's take a look at Simon Peter as Jesus has been drawing him to follow him. Jesus drew Simon Peter over a period of about a year and a half, I can't remember which, three different times.
That's right.
This is the third time that Jesus is seeing Peter and saying, you know, you should really come follow me. So let's take a look at this, Luke chapter 5, verses 3 to 11.
And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch."
So they've worked all day, they're done, and Jesus is saying, "Well, actually, I want you to go do some more work. You know, put out the nets. You know, go do some more fishing." And, you know, I wonder if there was a deeper meaning here. Put out the nets into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. You know, maybe Jesus is hinting that I got something else in store for you, and I want to show you through a picture to show you what your life is going to look like.
I will make you fishers of
yeah,
men.
Yeah, right. That's where he's going to get to here. So now, Jesus is drawing Peter. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the story of the rapper Lecrae as he's telling his story of his life, his early life, and some of the difficulties and troubles that he got into.
I knew my ways were unfulfilling. You know, I chased power. I chased pleasure. I chased possessions. I chased just something satisfying, and I knew I kept getting let down. I knew it was insanity, and I was never going to find fulfillment, but I didn't know what else to look for.
He kept a Bible in his car as a good luck charm. One night, police caught him trespassing and in possession of drugs. He was cuffed and sat in the police car waiting to go to jail.
And the police officer goes to my car, and he saw the Bible, and he came back to the police car, and he said, "Son, you got a Bible in your car?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, you know what that Bible's about?" And I was like, "I need to." And he said, "I'm like, you know what? Today I'm gonna let you go, because I want you to get into that Bible and I want you to start living it." And that really did something to me, and that really rocked me. And I didn't want to get in any kind of trouble like that again.
That's an amazing story.
That is.
For the officer to actually, he was cuffed and in the car.
Mm.
For the officer to actually let him go, he must have seen something in him that said, maybe there's a chance for this kid, and let me see if I can give him that chance. So it just gives you a sense of he's trying to find his way, and he was following his way, and he hadn't looked for the way yet, because he was, frankly, a sinner living a very, very, very sinful life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there's a parallel between he and the Apostle Peter.
Yes.
Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about the way. How is Jesus the way? How have you seen Jesus the way in your life? Questions, comments, thoughts, 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
Christian Questions, a voice of reason in a world that's lost its way. Keep in touch at ChristianQuestions.com.
In a world that's lost its way, you said it. You know, we have our own ways, but Jesus is the way. What's the difference between your way and his way, and how do you take your way and make it his way? That's what this is about this morning. So let's go back to Simon Peter. He's just being asked to go to work again after he finished working, and here's his response.
Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partner in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink.
So can you even imagine? Like, we've been working all day. We caught absolutely nothing. Why would we want to go back out there again? But okay, Jesus, because you suggested it, we'll do it. And they catch so many fish.
What a miracle.
They can't even, they're almost going to lose their livelihood because there's so many fish. I mean, this was impossible. This was a message. Jesus was sending them a very clear and concise message. So now the message of the way and Peter's why becomes clear. Because Peter now knows. He knows there's something at work here that's bigger than anything he has ever even dreamed of.
But when Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him.
So Peter's why? First of all, he's afraid. He's afraid. "Go away from me, Lord." Why would you say that to Jesus? Because you say that to Jesus because Jesus, his mere presence exposes our reality,
which is sinful and yucky.
You heard it here first. Our reality is yucky. And because of that, we are stuck. We are stuck in a place that is just untenable in terms of being able to be godly and to be truly, truly righteous. Jesus is the only way to get around that. Peter realized the yuckiness, I'm quoting my friend Jonathan, of his life and saw Jesus there to pull him out. And Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me." And this time, they left everything they had and they went and followed Jesus. Let's go back to the soundbite, another soundbite from Lecrae. You know, he's telling his story to the interviewer. Now let's let him wrap his story a little bit.
"I got a little son now, and he do whatever I do. But it's something deep inside you that tell you it's gotta be more than doing what other guys do. They had nobody there to guide you, but I followed your footsteps, and this shouldn't surprise you. You realize you. Yeah, I just wanna be like you."
So he's saying, "Look, I'm grown up. I've got a little son now, and he does whatever I do. But you realize that when I was following you, I just wanted to be like you." He's telling us the way and other ways. And he's telling us we have to make a choice.
Yes,
we've got
do.
To choose something higher. Jonathan, let's go to the phones. We've got to see if we can squeeze this in.
All right. Well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. I like your new introduction.
Oh, good.
I think it's streamlined and concise. Yeah, and positive.
Very good.
Yeah. Yes, a couple of scriptures come to mind. Matthew 22:14. "Many are called, few are chosen."
Mm-hmm.
And indirectly, you've talked about Matthew 4:19. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
Mm-hmm.
And what to follow the Lord Jesus, the way is a way of sacrifice. And I think as important as anything It is to follow the way of the Lord Jesus is by invitation. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
And Julius brings up an important point, by invitation. So what do you do with the everybody else who's not invited? That's a whole different subject, but a worthy topic to discuss in further programs. So, Julius, thanks for those scriptures. Again, it's a way of sacrifice. Another personal why regarding the necessity for the way. The context of this next scripture is Jesus thinning out the crowd by speaking to them in difficult terms. He was telling them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me.
Oh, yeah. That was so hard for people to hear.
Because they were taking it as a physical thing, not as a symbol.
That's right. They didn't realize that the symbol of the bread and the cup.
Lots of people left. So we only have a minute, Jonathan. John 6, verses 66 to 69.
As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God."
So why? You know, the why of the way. We know that the why is Jesus eradicates sin. You can't do that any other way. That's the first why. But then Julius mentioned it's a way of sacrifice. It's a way of invitation. Why would you go someplace else? Jesus looks at his truest followers and says, okay, all of these people are now leaving me because of what I said. Are you going to leave me also? And their response is, we don't have any place else to go. Who else has the words of eternal life? So they were beginning to, in a very small way, understand the way at that point. They began to see that there was no other way to see eternal life, only through Jesus. Folks, as we go into this break and come back for the second hour, we're going to talk further about how Jesus is the way. But here's the question you have to ask yourself. When you look at your Christian life, can you honestly say, if you weren't following Jesus, where else would I go? Can you honestly say, my life is empty without the way of Jesus Christ? That's the way we should be looking at our Christian lives. We'll be back in the second hour after the news and all that. But till then, how is Jesus the way for you, for me, and eventually for the whole world? We'll be back soon. But till then, think about it.
It's time to think about the Bible like you never have before. You're tuned into Christian Questions. Join the conversation now on air or online at ChristianQuestions.com and download our app by searching for Christian Questions Radio. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Gautama Buddha once said, and I love this quote, Jonathan. This is one of those profound, simple, it almost sounds like a Yogi Berra quote.
Okay.
If you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading. Think about that. We're talking about the way. Good morning. I'm Rick. This is not your typical Christian commentary as we look at Bible-related topics from a different perspective. You're listening to Christian Questions. And Jonathan, what is the question that we have on the table?
Well, Rick, the question is, how is Jesus the way? And our theme text is found in John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
So in the first hour, we talked about how it is that Jesus is the way in several different aspects of life. We looked at why Jesus is the way, the fact that sin can't be eradicated except by Jesus, where Jesus is leading us, and not only is it to a life of eternal life, you know, in heavenly call, but it's to a life of faith, a place of nourishment, of peace, and a life of courage in our daily walk here. So we're going through and continuing. We want to get to the how of Jesus being the way. Okay, if Jesus is the way, great. How do I get there? Because that's the big question. And to help us with that particular question, we are featuring a story of a rapper. His name is Lecrae. And through the first hour, he began telling his story of how he grew up on the streets.
Without a father.
Without a father. His uncles were his big inspiration, but they were deeply into all of the wrong things, mm-hmm. all of the dangerous things.
Yes.
And we saw how he began to get in trouble as a young man, and a police officer actually was very, very, very kind to him by not pursuing prosecution where he could have.
Because he had a Bible on the front seat of his car.
And was trying to give him a chance to make his life right. So what happens next? Let's go back to the story of Lecrae as he talked about it on CBN.
For a year, Lecrae walked a line between college partier and committed Christian. His life was spinning out of control, and he knew it. He was finally stopped in a massive car accident that left him evaluating his double life.
I came out without a scratch. You know, my car had flipped over. It was dented in, damaged up, and here I am without a scratch on me. And I said, okay, God, I need to change.
Later that night, he gave his life completely over to God.
I was radically changed. To realize that I had been living a lie, to realize that I was unsatisfied and I would never be satisfied until I came to Jesus was so revolutionary for me that I wanted everyone to taste it. I wanted everyone to see how awesome God was.
So it's a great story because there is not a moment of reckoning for him necessarily. There's a process of reckoning for him.
Sure, sure.
And he had started paying attention to mm-hmm. spiritual things.
Yes.
But, you know, at the beginning of that soundbite, he's saying, you know, he lived a double life. He was this dedicated Christian, but he's a wild partier.
Mm-hmm.
The two don't mix.
Right.
And he knew the two didn't mix, but he was stuck in the in-between.
And he had another wake-up call.
And he did. And it could have been something very, very serious. And then he said, okay, I have to now take another step. So he was taking steps to find the way instead of following his way.
Excellent.
And it's a very, very, very difficult one. So how do you get there? How is it that you walk the way of Jesus? Jesus is the way. Well, first of all, and Lecrae began to intimate this, the way of Jesus is a narrow way. It's not an easy way. Matthew 7:12-14.
In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
So Jesus himself is saying that this is a narrow, difficult way.
Yes.
And not a lot of people are going to find it.
No, they're not.
So
most people will choose not to.
Right, because it's too much work.
Yeah.
It's just too much work.
Sacrifices, it hurts sometimes.
Yes, yes. But, you know, you can choose between life without Jesus and avoid the sacrifice. And you can do all the things you want to do. And for Lecrae, you know, we're seeing that what he was doing was not actually helping him. It was hurting him.
Yes.
Or you can choose that life of sacrifice and come in and say, okay, I'm going to live for a higher reason. I want to be following the way, not my way. We get there by setting our hearts and minds with great intention upon a difficult path.
Right.
You can look at a difficult path and say, wow, that's a difficult path. And a lot of times, look, a lot of Christians do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a difficult path to follow Jesus and to decide. That's a difficult path. Yep. And we can go to church on Sunday and we can talk about that difficult path. Yes, it is a difficult path. And then we can live our life during the week and we're not on that difficult path. And that's what Lecrae was doing.
Right.
And we can, during the week, say, come back on Sunday and say, wow, that is a difficult path. But until we, with intention, acknowledge it and take the steps, we have not found the way.
You're right.
We're simply fooling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that might come across as a little harsh, but that's the reality that Jesus was teaching us about the way. Let's go back to Lecrae again, telling his story as only he can tell it.
Now all I see is money, cars, jewels, stars, womanizers, tough guys, guns, knives, and scars, drug pushers, stuff, strippers, fast girls, fast life, everything I wanted and everything I could ask life. If this ain't living, then they lied. Well, guess I'm married in old wives' tale. Why fail? I don't know another way to go. This is the only way they ever show. I got this emptiness inside of
got me fighting for approval, cause I missed out on my daddy saying way to go. Ain't get that verbal affirmation. I know how to treat a woman, know how to fix an engine to keep the car running. So now I'm looking at the meat, following what they feed me. Rap stars, trap stars, whoever wants to lead me. Even though they lie, they still tell me that they love me. They say I'm good at bad things, at least they're proud of me.
They say I'm good at bad things, but at least they're proud of me.
Mm.
How many millions and millions of people are stuck in that spot?
Many, many.
And he's saying, you know, this was everything I could have ever wanted, but it was leading me nowhere. I was good at bad things. And this is not what you want out of your life. So to follow the way. And Jonathan, the rest of this segment, there is a process here. There is a distinct process the scripture set out for us.
For the how.
For the how. How do you get out of the wrong way, and how do you get into the right way? And you were saying during the break about your own experience.
That's right. In my life, I know this is true, Rick. First, I let go of worldly pursuits, a business. Me and my friend were starting a music career, and old bad habits, not in harmony with righteousness. And my life changed where people in my new life changed too, to those that were walking the same path with me.
And that
everything
that,
changed.
That's a real key.
Oh, it is.
Is you can't walk the path if everybody around you is going down
the
their
other way.
Own way. Right.
Yes.
Okay. So we follow the way, and this is what happened with you. By humbly realizing who we are, what we have done, and moving forward.
Yes.
Now, how do we truly leave our lives behind? Because, again, that's what you're saying
mm-hmm.
in your experience
I have
you had to do. Fortunately, the Apostle Paul gives us a step-by-step instruction analysis on this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. So step-by-step-by-step, how do you leave your life behind? How do you leave the stuff in your life behind? Let's start with Philippians 3, 7 through 8.
But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ.
What was gain, I now count as loss. Now, how do you do that? How do we get there? You have to weigh the value of your life before truly knowing Christ against the value of your life in Christ.
And Rick, there is no comparison.
No, there's not. But unless you go through the exercise of actually
right.
weighing it, of actually comparing
it.
The two,
yeah.
you're not going to know there's no comparison.
Exactly.
So you have to take the step of weighing the value of what was against the value of what life is in Christ. That's the first step. Verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3.
And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith.
So you have weighed the value of your life before Christ against the value of your life in Christ. And now, after weighing the value of those two things, we accept the fact that whatever was, however good or accomplished it was, because, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to have been bad.
That's true.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Whatever was is of no comparison to the purity and loftiness of the righteousness found in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been good. It could have been great. But is it the same as a life in Christ? Because remember, a life in Christ eradicates sin. And it gives you a whole different level of objective and of existence. So you weigh, and then you accept the fact that what was is not what can be.
Mm-hmm.
Next step. We'll get to the phones in a minute. The next step in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus.
So we weigh, we accept, and here we resolve to conform to Christ in his suffering. Even though we're weak and heavy laden with sin, we are resolved because we have been called to do so. You have to have the resolve. It's not enough to weigh it and say, oh yeah, this one's better. It's not enough to accept it, because that's where a lot of Christians stop.
You're right. You're right.
They accept, yeah, no, this is better. This is better. Yeah, but do you resolve to do something about it? You know, verse 10 starts with, that I may know him. There is a resolution of character and of mind right there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You have to resolve it. But it doesn't end there. You can't stop with just the resolve. Let's go to verses 13, or just verse 13.
Brethren,
I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3.
Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead.
Forgetting, this is the key to the whole thing, Jonathan.
It is, Rick.
Forgetting what lies behind. We weighed, we accepted, we resolved, and now we release the chains of our past. For how can we truly reach forward to what lies ahead if our hands are bound up in holding and bound up in carrying past failures or even past victories?
Good point.
You can't move forward if you're carrying the past.
All things are new.
I forget those things which are behind. That's what the apostle says in verse 14.
I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
So you weigh the value of life before Christ to life in Christ. Accept the fact that whatever was isn't the same as what can be. Make a resolution in your mind to do something about it. Release the chains of the past. And now, verse 14, we pursue with single-minded focus and energy the goal of the call of Christ. This process gives us a whole new meaning to the saying, let go and let God.
Oh, yes.
This is how you do it.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. You do it by putting all of these things in place. Jonathan, let's quickly see if we can... boy, this is going to be tough. Let's see if we can fit a call in really fast.
Sure. We have Carol from Connecticut. Good morning, Carol, and welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very short. You have to have faith and patience. We all need that, because when you are born, your life is all marked out for you. Mm-hmm. God, whatever is going to happen, that's what God wants of you. So you got to say, when the bad things happen, you can't ask why, like I did when my husband died, but you have to have faith and patience that you will have a good life if you just keep these two things in mind, faith and patience.
Well said there, sister.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
All righty. Bye-bye.
And that's such an important thing, because this is the how-to of the why, or the way, rather. Jesus is the way. How-to. How do we accomplish that? Faith and patience in this process brings us from what we were to what we can be. And that is such an important part of our lives.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how is Jesus the way? Coming up, so is the way for everybody, or for just those who are called? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions. 'Cause I feel alive. You're listening to Christian Questions. See videos, hear past shows, and talk to us at ChristianQuestions.com. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Welcome back. Our subject for today is, how is Jesus the way? We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Join our conversation by calling 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or you can message us on your app. Or go to our website at ChristianQuestions.com, and don't forget to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
So lots of great tools. I'll tell you, Jonathan, a lot of the emails that we get, folks are always talking about CQ Rewind,
mm-hmm.
the full edition. They sign up. It's a free service. If you don't like it, you can unsubscribe. But it is such a great tool for Bible study, because it puts things in a PDF file format, adds graphics and illustrations, and really makes the story come alive right in front of you so you can see it.
Yes.
As you listen to an archive.
That's awesome.
So try it out. If you haven't tried it, CQ Rewind, the full edition, a free service available at Christian Questions. So, Jonathan, we're talking about, how is Jesus the way? And there's been a lot of aspects of being the way. We talked about the what, defining how Jesus is the way. Where do we go? Well, a life of an eternal life, but a life of faith and courage and nourishment, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get there? And last segment was a real step-by-step consideration from the Apostle Paul.
In Philippians 3.
Right, on how to get there. So this segment is, well, we talked about why. Now who? Who is the way for? Is it for everybody? Acts chapter 4, verse 12.
And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.
So that says everybody. Because there's only one name.
That's right.
So you have to see the name of Jesus as the centerpiece to eradicate sin, period. There's no other name, there's no other way, there's no other religion, there's no other process, there's no other thought pattern, there's no other imagination. Nothing else can do it but the name of Jesus. Okay, so that's for everybody. Now hold that thought, because now let's look at this next scripture. If that's true, then how do you figure out this next text? Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 12.
As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven."
So we just said the name of Jesus is everything to everybody.
Yes.
And Jesus himself said, but I don't want the masses of people to understand what I'm saying.
Just the called ones.
How would that even make sense? Now, there's a really great answer to that.
Oh, there is.
So hang on. We're going to get to that answer in just a moment. Let's go back to Lecrae and just hear the next step in his story. Remember, in the last step of his story, he had realized that he was living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He was proclaiming to be a Christian but not living the life of a Christian. And he finally came to grips with that and said, okay, I'm done with that. I need to step forward. I need to really step into the way in a whole different way. Let's hear what happens next.
I was changed.
Before long, he learned he could blend his passion for God and his ability as a rapper.
I thought that God and rap would never work. I thought that God wasn't okay with rap. You know, people knew I used to rap, and I went to the Bible studies, and someone said, hey, why don't you, you know, rap about Jesus? And so I just on the spot, I just came up with the rap about Jesus, and they were like, man, that was good. And I was like, wow, Lord, maybe you could really do something with this.
He began ministering to kids in juvenile detention.
I ended up there for 3 years, every weekend, just sharing my heart and sharing scripture and rapping as their praise and worship on Sundays.
That is an awesome, awesome way to use a talent that you normally wouldn't see in terms of Christianity.
You're right.
For the glory of God. He goes and gives kids something that they're willing to listen to. But he gives them because the kids wanted the rap because that's cool. So he took what was cool and he made it spiritual.
And showed them the way.
Exactly. So he was showing them something higher, something better, something stronger, and giving them something to hold on to rather than all of the other stuff in their lives. What a wonderful example of the practical application in your everyday. And he didn't do it once. Or twice.
3 years starting off.
Every single weekend. And what a great, great example. And folks, if Jesus is the way in your life, how are you, between Sundays, living the way? That's really the question here. So, Jonathan, let's get back to that other question. If Jesus is the way, and he has to be the way for everybody, and he does because the scripture says so,
mm-hmm.
Then why would Jesus say, well, I'm trying to confuse the masses. I don't want them to follow me. I don't want them to understand what I'm saying. Let's figure that out according to scripture. This is really important, and this is about who the way is for. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, you are a chosen race and all of those things. So notice how all of these descriptions are for just a group. It sounds like, okay, you, meaning just you, not everybody else, but you.
My disciples.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But this group has a job. And so these descriptions are not only isolating them from everybody else, but it's describing a job.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the job is what?
being a priest?
A priesthood. Now, what does a priesthood imply? That there are others that you minister to.
That's right.
Okay?
There has to be some kind of audience to hear.
Otherwise, a priesthood is just going to be twiddling their thumbs. So they have this, the others to minister to, proclaiming him. You have to have an audience. Can these things be done in the here and now? Is that priesthood designated for the here and now, or is there a bigger picture to that priesthood? We're gonna develop that through these scriptures in a minute here. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to verses 10 through 12.
For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles.
So this is all present behavior, right?
Yes.
He's saying you weren't a people of God, but now you are. That's present. Okay, because we're asking the question, when does the priesthood apply? Is it all right now? And at this point, in verses 10, 11, and 12, it's all about the right now. It's all about make sure that your behavior is excellent among the Gentiles. Make sure that you abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against God's presence in your life. So it's all right now.
Mm-hmm.
So is this scripture just pointing us to just right now, or is there something else attached to that? Because you got to get the right now, and I think that there's actually more to it than that. But you have to get the right now. Before you can get
first.
Right, before you can get the later.
Right.
So how do you do that? Well, let's go back now to the last few lines of verse 12, which we didn't read from 1 Peter chapter 2.
So that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation.
That is an incredible statement. So when is the slandering happen?
It's taking place now.
So all
for those followers of Jesus.
Okay, so everything we've talked about is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be acting like a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, the people of God having received mercy. All of it, it has to be in the right now.
But there's a transition going on
okay.
in this verse, isn't there?
So what's the transition?
Well, it's after they slander you as evildoers, the next phrase.
Okay, so go over that next phrase again.
They may, because of your good deeds.
Right now.
As they observe them, right now, glorify God in the day of visitation later.
So who, then, is doing the glorifying of God? The unbelievers right now.
The rest of the world later.
So there is a later. So it's saying do the right things. Follow in the way right now.
Yes.
Because for the rest of the world, later in the day of visitation, this is talking about...
They will glorify God.
Right. This is talking about the day of judgment.
Yes.
So it's like, wait. So they don't have to hear it right now.
No. They're not lost for eternity.
Because 1 Peter 2 tells us that they will glorify God
in the day of visitation.
So you got that one little phrase. And, people can say, Jonathan and Rick, you guys are taking that one little phrase and you're building a whole big thing out of it. Yeah, we are. Because there's many, many other scriptures that also verify it. So this is just, because we're condensed in time here, this is a really specific phrase. So now let's verify that by going to another scripture, Romans 8, verses 18 to 21.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Okay, so, and I'm going to interrupt you a lot here.
Okay.
So, are you surprised?
No. So this is present again.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Okay, but he's saying he's comparing now with mm-hmm. the glory to be revealed.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God.
The anxious longing of the creation. Who is the creation?
The rest of the world of mankind.
And who are the sons of God?
Followers of Jesus.
So there's a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
All right? One is waiting for the revealing of the other.
Right.
So now, if you walked up to the average person on the street, you did one of those on-the-street interviews,
okay.
said, excuse me, sir, I just have a quick question for you. Are you waiting for the revealing of the sons of God? What would they say?
What are you talking about?
Right. And I would say that 999 out of 1,000 people would say, huh? Or, you know, say it again, because it doesn't make sense. So the scripture, though, helps us to understand it by explaining itself. Let's go to verse 20.
For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope.
Okay, so verse 20, the creation, the world, the sinful world, was subjected to futility.
Sin and Adam.
There is no more futile way to live than to try to solve all of the world's problems in a sinful state.
Right.
It just is not going to work. So it says the creation, the world, was subjected to futility, not willingly, not because they just wanted to be, but because of him who subjected it, because God put them there. And you say, well, why would God put the world in futility? Well, the last two words of that verse tells us.
In hope.
Because there's more to it. Because it's a temporary condition. Because things are going to change. Because it's going to get better. There's hope for the future. So what's the hope? Verse 21.
In hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
So they will see the name of Jesus eventually. That's what it's saying.
Yes.
Because they're going to be set free into the same freedom in Christ that the children of God, the true followers of Christ, have right now. So you see, the name of Jesus is for everyone, but just not right yet.
Yes.
The scriptures, that's what they tell us. Let's go back to Lecrae and let him tell us more of his story as only he can.
But God sees through my foolish pride, and how weak like Adam, another victim of Lucifer's lies. But then in steps Jesus. All men were created to lead, but we needed somebody to lead us, more than a teacher, but somebody to buy us back from the darkness. You can say he redeemed us, taught us that real leaders follow God, finish the work cause we got our job. Taught us not to rhyme, but give life, love a wife like he loved the church, without singing how many hearts we can break first. I want to be like you in every way, so if I gotta die every day, unworthy sacrifice, but the least I can do is give the most of me, cause being just like you is what I'm supposed to be. They say you came for the lame, I'm the lamest, I made a mess, but you say you'll erase it, I'll take it.
That is breathtaking to me.
That is.
To be able to consolidate what was and what can be in that little 50-second rap to say, I made a mess, but you say you'll erase it. Mm. I'll take it.
Mm.
Just putting it in perspective, what is the most important thing in our sinful, broken lives? This is how Jesus is the way. And when you are called according to his purpose, it applies to you here and now. So here's the privilege of following Christ, the privilege of being one who's called. Again, we're going back to John 15. This is still the same context as our theme scripture, only a little bit later. They're walking through a garden on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. They're walking through where they grow the vines for grapes. What do you call it? A vineyard. Yeah, thank you, Jewel. I know there's a word for this. I just cannot figure out what it is. Thank you, Jewel. John 15, 1-5.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
There you have it. And that's what Lecrae was saying at the end of that last segment of the rap. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, there is nothing of eternal value except that through Jesus.
We need full and total reliance in our Lord to be faithful.
And that's where the who comes in. It's the true followers of Christ now, but the rest of the world later, because the true followers of Christ are faithful.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how is Jesus the way? Coming up, how do we capitalize on the gift of the way? Is there an urgency? That's next.
listening to Christian Questions. You're listening to Christian Questions. See videos, hear past shows, and talk to us at ChristianQuestions.com. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Welcome back. Our subject for today is, how is Jesus the way? We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Join our conversation by calling 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL, or you can message us on your app. And don't forget, if you don't have our app for your smartphone, it is a free service. Go to your app store and type in Christian Questions.
A lot of people use the app, and really helps to put things in perspective, because there's so much available on the app in terms of other things than just than listening to the program. Lots of ways to contact us, and we love it when you do contact us, because it helps us understand where you're coming from and how we can get better. So, Christian Questions app. If you don't have it, what are you waiting for? Jesus is the way. There's an awful lot to talk about with that simple little phrase.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing, and it's inspiring to see how it encompasses every part of our life in terms of how am I living my daily life? Is it in context of the way, or am I living it just my way with a little bit of the way sprinkled in for flavor? Because a lot of times, that's what Christianity does.
Self loves to get in the way.
We sprinkle in Jesus for flavor. But that's not what it's supposed to be. So when is the way of Jesus, when is it an open door? And the answer is really simple. It's right now. It's right now for those of us called according to his purpose. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3.
See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure.
So to be a child of God in the future, you must live as a child of God right now.
That's right.
It says, beloved, now are we children of God.
And I love the picture of the marriage, the bride of Christ, mm-hmm. Jesus the groom, and the church the bride. And I can see in the kingdom, the children of the kingdom on earth, God will be their grandfather.
Yeah, yeah. They'll have. So in other words, every human being has the opportunity to have Jesus be the way.
Yes.
But it's not all right here, right now.
No.
Some come through the life of sacrifice. Others will walk.
In advance.
Right. And others will walk, most others, the vast majority of humanity will walk up with what Isaiah calls the highway of holiness.
Yes.
And gives them the opportunity to come to Christ in a different way, in an earthly way, not a spiritual way, but an earthly way, following the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of men. So being for us here and now, because that's what we're really concerned about.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Being in the way means seeing things differently because we have already been reconciled to God. And again, and Jonathan, I know I sound like a broken record on this, but so often Christianity misses this boat. We think that, okay, we've been reconciled, so everything is just fine and dandy. Not so. You can have been reconciled, but you must maintain the reconciliation by living the life. And you can't fool God. I mean, this might be something new. This might be a newsflash. But you can't fool God. He sees our every day. He sees our thoughts. He sees what's inside. And that's scary.
He can read the heart.
It's scary.
It is.
But it's true. And we need to understand that and embrace that in our living a reconciled life. Folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time, 866-985-4255. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 19.
Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
So because we are reconciled, we can learn to become ministers of reconciliation. And that's what we were talking about.
Yes, for others in the kingdom.
Right, and that's the point.
That priesthood you mentioned in Peter.
That's their job. They have a present role and a future role. And that future role is the role of reconciliation, to be ministers of the reconciliation of Christ to the world.
To bless all the families of the earth.
But you can't do the job unless you do the job.
In advance.
Right. You have to do the job now. And the job doesn't happen just on Sundays. Let's make sure that we understand that Jesus is the way for our entire 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week life. That's the way he must be in our lives. Let's go back to Lecrae and his interview about the where his life has gone now that he's been through all of that transition and all of those difficulties.
And if you don't know them, you're missing out on purpose, meaning, and life in general. And so I'm passionate about seeing people spend eternity with him. He's awesome. He's just loved on me when I felt like I didn't deserve love, when I felt like I was unlovable. I'm really grateful, and I feel fortunate to have a huge family that is beyond race, creed, culture, and to have a father who shepherds us all. And when I think about that, my mind's blown. I mean, there's nothing like it.
You come from where he came from, and you can say the things he just said, and you can see this incredible transition. But again, the key is, okay, it's great to say it. How do you live it? If Jesus is the way, that means Jesus is the path. That means if you are truly a follower of Jesus, you are walking on that path.
That's right.
That means you're not walking on another path.
No.
And this is all real simple to say, well, of course, duh, Rick, of course you're not walking on another path if you're on this path. But sometimes we like to straddle. Sometimes we like to have one foot on the path of Jesus and the other foot on the, well, what we'd like to do. And we'll arrange so the two can walk parallel, you know. And then sometimes, though, when our path will take a left and the path of Jesus takes a right, which one do we follow? And I'll bet you the answer is the wrong one.
Usually,
and then
the flesh
then we
gotta makes mistakes.
Find our way through the wilderness to find the right path again.
Yes.
We got to stay with what's the most important thing. Being in the way means that we entirely focus our whole being on our race to Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3.
Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith.
All right, so let's pause there for a minute, because it says we got this great cloud of witnesses. What cloud of witnesses? Read Hebrews chapter 11. That's the cloud of witnesses. And the cloud of witnesses are the cloud of examples. That's what witnesses means. It's the cloud of examples in Hebrews chapter 11. All of those ancient followers of God who, before Jesus' time,
were faithful and served God.
They stepped up, they stepped out, and they accomplished great feats of faith.
So we can draw strength from their experience.
So we have to decide to use their experiences to help us to run hard.
What a privilege, Rick, we have, and a responsibility.
Yeah. And you know, that's the key. It is a responsibility. It's a wonderful privilege. And we can be privileged children, but if you don't take the responsibility that comes with the privilege, then you lose the privilege.
Exactly.
And that's not what this is about. So, focusing on Jesus. Let's finish those verses.
Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Jesus and other examples of faith truly are all that we need to keep our hearts on fire.
There is an urgency.
There has to be an urgency. And you know, that's why I really enjoyed using the story of Lecrae today, because he gave you a sense of the urgency of getting out of where he was and changing. So often, though, what we do is we get out of where we were and we change, and then we stop. We say, okay, I've changed. Now it's good. No. Now it starts. Now is where, like you're saying, the urgency has to kick in. So let's just go back to the end of the rap that we've taken apart and we'll only listen to pieces of. Again, Lecrae's last statement here with us.
They say you came for the lame. I'm the lamest. I broke my life, but you say you'll replace it. I'll take it.
just got to be like him. It went from, I want to be like you, to, I just got to be like him. Because you know what? Human nature has to be like. That's just what we are. So we have to choose what and where our example will be, and what it is, and what we will conform to. Jesus is the way. That's the model for what we must conform to. You know, trouble comes.
Oh, yeah.
We who are in the way can now see trouble in a whole different, with a different set of eyes. And it now becomes opportunity rather than just trouble. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 16.
Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence.
Okay, so up to this point in the scripture, it says, you know, who's there who's going to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? The practical everyday answer for that question is there's lots of people that'll harm you.
True.
There's lots and lots and lots of them. And there's more people that will harm you than will help you in some places.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture, so it's saying that, well, who's gonna hurt you? And the answer is, well, you got to be careful because there's lots of people. So how does the scripture answer that? It says, but even if you should suffer. So he's saying, okay, yes, there are those who can harm you, even if you suffer for righteousness.
And it better be for righteousness, right?
Right. Well, and that's the key. That's the key. And it's not, Jonathan, it's not just righteousness that says, okay, I'm right, you're wrong.
No.
This is the righteousness of Christ.
Exactly.
This is different. This is higher. If you're willing to suffer for that righteousness, don't fear their intimidation.
Because you're blessed.
Right.
Yeah.
You can be intimidated. You can be in trouble with all those who see it differently, but don't be afraid of it. Do not be afraid of it because you've placed your feet on the right path. You've placed your feet on the way.
On Christ.
On Christ. Let's read verse 16.
And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame.
Now, oftentimes in the world in which we live, those who revile us are not put to shame.
You're right.
So you look at this scripture and say, well, what if they're not? Well, the answer is they will be, because the day of judgment, Jesus himself described it that every word, every deed will be accountable for.
And they will remember.
They will, and they will have to remember. They'll have to see it so it all comes out in the wash later.
It does.
So whatever the difficulty is that surrounds you, make sure your feet are on the path of Christ.
Stay true to Christ.
So Jesus is the way. He is the door, he is the path, and the inspiration that we need to find our way to put on faith and to walk the walk. So folks, as we begin to wrap up today, it was about Jesus being the way. Now, several weeks from now, we're going to do Jesus, how is Jesus the truth? And then a few weeks later, we're going to do how is Jesus the life? It's a three-part series on understanding the practical role of Jesus in our lives. And Jonathan, just as we wrap this up on Jesus being the way, you know, our lives bring us things that we don't expect.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there was a comment made by a caller earlier about, you know, sometimes it looks like our life is mapped out. Our life isn't really mapped out so much as God overrules the experiences of our lives.
I like that.
And when God overrules the experiences of our lives, if we are in Christ, if our feet are on the path of Jesus, then his overruling our life is not a headache for him, and it's a blessing for us. But if he's trying to overrule for us, but our feet are on the wrong path, well, you know, you're just going to cause all kinds of consternation for God, and who wants to do that? For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we hope you've enjoyed being with us today. We've certainly enjoyed talking to you about Jesus and the way, how it should be in our daily lives. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, Jesus is the way. The question is, what are you doing about it every day of your life? Till next week, think about it.